3. All right, please stand and take your Bibles to Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119, it's a privilege to be at the Youth Conference 2015. Psalm 119, take your Bibles to Psalm 119, verses 33 through verse number 40, please. Verses 33 through verse number 40. I appreciate the kind words from my pastor. What a man of God he is, and I thank God for him, his testimony, and for being a mentor of mine, and his whole family. I love them like all get. I also thank God tonight. It's not too often that I get to be with my wife and preaching engagements, but good to see my wife. Wave your hand, sweetheart. Where are you? Right there. Good. All the way in the back. Everybody can see you. Good. She's the beauty, and I'm the beast, baby. Come on now. And then there's my son, Sammy, and Beauty and the Beast. Okay, and then there's Sophia, so I thank God for them. My mama, all right? Don't mess with my mama. Come on now. Don't tell any mama jokes around me because I'll sock you right in your nose, okay? I don't care if you're a girl. Don't test me this week, okay? What's up with this Steve Urkel stuff, man? Good night, man. You know? What is that? I thought they put a picture of the Nutty Professor up there or something, but my goodness, man. But good, good. Psalm 119, verses 33 through verse number 40. Let's read responsively tonight. I'll read verse number 33, and then we'll conclude in verse number 40. The Bible says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Altogether, verse 34, ready, begin. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And altogether, in verse number 40, ready, begin. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Careful attention to verse number 37 and verse number 40. If you're in a custom of taking notes or highlighting your Bible, I'd like for you to highlight these two words. In verse number 37, the Bible says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." Then the scripture says, "And quicken thou me in thy way." Quickly circle that word, quicken. And then in verse number 40, the Bible says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Quicken me in thy righteousness. And tonight, just for a few moments, young people, I'd like to preach on this subject, alive unto God. Alive unto God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the privilege you give us to gather in this place. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God, for how you used the service already in my heart. We beg you, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight, not only in this session, but also in the session to follow. And in every session, God, both with the workers and here in the combined session with the teenagers, I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased, God, by everything we do this week. God, it is all in vain. I know it's a common cliche, but it's the truth. It's in vain, God, unless thy sweet Spirit would come down in this place. We trust you. We need you. We confide in you. We're confident that you will. Speak, Lord, for thy servants. We hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Really quickly, and I want you to use your Bible, okay? We're at a youth conference, but more than that, we're at a Bible conference. Amen? The psalmist says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy what?" He says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my what? That I might not what? Sin against thee." The psalmist says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Listen, young people, this week, I thank God that we get to preach from the inerrant, inspired, indestructible, inspired word of God. Thank God for that. I thank God that His word is a light into my path and a light into my feet and a light into my path. And thank God for the word of God tonight. Now listen, let's use it tonight, okay? Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, take your Bibles there. And I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 5. What is this subject of alive unto God? You see, when God saved us, He saved us to be dead unto ourselves. He saved us to be dead to society. He saved us to be dead to Satan, but He saved us to be alive unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 5, let's follow along as I read. The Bible says, and you hath He what? Talk to me. Everybody say that word. 1, 2, 3. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, that's the devil, the spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look at verse number 4. Let's read verse number 4 together. Ready, begin? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Watch what He says in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He what? Us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And so what happened that day when Jesus died on the cross? Listen, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He died to be a propitiation for our sins. He died to take our place on the cross so that we would never suffer the flames of hell, so that we would never suffer the separation from God the Father, so we would never suffer not knowing Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus went to the cross, He climbed up that hill of Golgotha, and on Calvary, He spread His arms out and He took the nails in His hands, and He took the nails in His feet, and He took the crown of thorn on His head, and they gave Him vinegar to drink. They plucked His beard. They spit on His face. And the reason that He did it was one sole reason, is that He wanted to make you alive unto God, my friend. He wanted you to be born again. In John chapter number 3, He comes to a ruler of the Pharisees. He says, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Pharisees, and you're a leader, and you don't know these things. You must be born again. In John chapter number 4, He meets a woman at the well after she'd been with 5 different husbands, and the one she was with was not her husband. Then Jesus says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that asks you right now, give me the drink, that would is asked of Him, and He would give you living water. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind every teenager here tonight, in the balcony and in the lower floor, those nails were not meant for Jesus, my friend. Those crown of thorns were not meant for Jesus. That vinegar that He drank was not meant for Jesus. That blasphemy that He endured was not meant for Jesus. The betrayal that He endured, that He suffered, was not meant for Jesus. That betrayal was meant for me. Those nails were meant for me. The crown of thorns was meant for me. The spear in His side was meant for me. I'm trying to tell you, when He cried out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why has Thou forsaken me? That was not meant for Jesus, teenager. That was meant for me, and that was meant for you. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Paul understood a little bit about this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Listen to what he says. He says, I am crucified. I am crucified. Let's say it together. I am crucified with Christ. Watch what Paul says. Nevertheless, I live. Paul said, I got the secret to this Christian life. I don't want to live unto myself. He said, another place, I die daily. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the secret. Paul said, when Jesus died on the cross, Paul did also. When Jesus died on the cross, my sin did also. When Jesus died on the cross, my attitude died also. Why? Because I'm supposed to be dead unto myself, but I'm supposed to be alive unto God, my friend. Tonight, how can we be alive unto God? You'll find it, the steps to be alive unto God. Number one, look at verse number 33. Verse number 33. Follow along as we read the scripture. Verse number 33. What are the first two words of verse number 33? Are one, two, three. A little bit louder. One, two, three. Teach me, underline it, please, in your Bible. Teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Three things really quickly underneath here. Listen, if you're going to be alive unto God, you're going to have to listen, my friend. You're going to have to listen. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and verse 7 through 9. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Listen, is what he's saying. As the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, and as God was showing the mighty works and was feeding them and was really their provision and their protection, and God was with them, he was providentially with them. What he was saying is, even those people, as they were in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts towards me. They saw me feed them with manna from the sky, and still they hardened their hearts towards me. They saw me deliver them as I spread across the waters, and they walked over on dry ground, Brother Collins, the Red Sea, and yet their hearts were hardened. They saw me deliver them from the hail. They saw me deliver them from the locusts. They saw me deliver them from the frogs. They saw me deliver them from the water turned to blood. They saw me deliver them from the boils. They saw me deliver them from the death angel. And even with all the miracles Jesus did, they still hardened their heart. How many times have you seen God work in your life, teenager? How many times have you seen somebody who used to be hooked on drugs? I'm not talking about YMCA tonight or any AA meetings. Listen to me. When was the last time you saw somebody that had a problem with alcohol, had a problem with pornography, had a problem with addiction, had a problem in this world, and you see him come to an old-fashioned altar, trust Jesus Christ because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you see their lives transform? How many times have you seen that miracle and yet your heart is still hardened tonight? I'll tell you why your heart is hardened and why my heart gets hard so many times. You know why? Because we simply do not listen. This week, God wants to speak to some of you. Listen, look at me, look at me. This week is the week for salvation for some of you. Some of you this week need to get that settled down in your heart this week. Some of you need to realize that you are lost, that if you die tonight or this week, you will split hell wide open. Why? Because you have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm telling you this week is the week where you got to listen to the voice of God. This is the week that some of you boys, some of you men will be called to preach. And I thank God for that call to preach. I know there's not many wise, not many noble. I know there's not many wise men after the flesh, but God has chosen the weak things of this world, my friend, to confound the wise. And God has chosen things which are despised and rejected to bring to naught those things which are. And God said, I will choose you this week. But the problem is, you're just not listening. I'm talking to girls tonight. I'm not here to rip your face off. I believe that God wants me to tell you. I'm talking to girls tonight. God's going to talk to you about some things, but you're just not going to listen. You're going to harden your heart. You're going to refuse to hear the very voice of God. Is he in the earthquake? Is he in the fire? Is he in the wind? No, sir. It's a still, small voice. One preacher got up one morning and he started to walk with God around the block where he lived. And he heard the birds singing, Mrs. Colston. He heard them. Brother Kennedy, immediately in his mind, this is what he said. That's him. That's him. Then he saw the sun begin to rise. He's walking with God early morning. He saw the sun begin to rise. And he said, man, that's it. That's it. Then he went back to the house, Mrs. Vasek, and he saw the joy on his children's faces as they were awakened and were ready for breakfast. And he saw the smiles. And he said, that's him. That's him. That's him. God's everywhere tonight, young people. He's an omnipresent God. He said, I want to find God, Brother Sammy. I want God to speak to me. I want God to work in my heart. I want God to speak. And listen, all you have to do is listen to the voice of God. Teach me. He says, I want to be alive unto you, God. Quicken thou me in thy way. God, I want to be dead unto myself, but alive unto thee. He says, number one, I need you to teach me. Then you got to listen. I want to say number two underneath here. Then you got to learn. You got to learn. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29, listen to the words of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What did God intend for us to learn in that scripture? Here's what he intended us to learn. You must be strength under control. Strength, but under control. It's the willingness to be governed by somebody else. I meet so many teenagers that say, man, I just got to have my way. I got to be stubborn. I got to be rebellious in this area. And listen, I'm not going to tell you, like, I've never been through these tough times and through these battles of wanting to do my own thing. But listen, those of us that are strongest in the room are those who realize that they are weak enough to obey the voice of God. Obey God. Learn of him. He's meek. And then he's lonely in heart. You know what God was saying? I am humble. I am meek. I am humble. Yeah, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, what? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the, talk to me, cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I want to say tonight that Jesus Christ, he is still Lord. He is still Lord. He is still the truth, the way, and the life. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He's still the lily of the valley. He's still the Alpha and Omega. He's still the healer of my heart. He's still my best friend. There's no other God besides Jesus, my friend. He's Christ. He cannot be explained. No vocabulary can explain who he is. No painter can beautify exactly all the details quite like he is. Nobody comes close to him, friend. All other gods are second to none. The gods of this world, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have hands, but they cannot touch. They have feet, but they go to and they do not go from to and fro. They got mouths, but they cannot speak. But I thank God that our God was made in the likeness of man. And Jesus has eyes, and they see. And Jesus has hands, and they touch. And Jesus has feet, and they go to and fro. Jesus, the Bible says, we have. Have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin, my friend. Are you listening tonight? Are you learning? Then when you learn, listen, you got to live it out. You got to live it out. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want you to mark this in your scripture. James chapter number 1. Look at verses 22 to 24. James chapter number 1, verses 22 through 24. I want to be alive unto you, God. Teach me. Listen, listen. Learn. Live. Watch what he says in James chapter 1 and verse number 22. The Bible says, but be ye I'm here in the pages tonight. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye, talk to me. Isn't that a hard word in the scripture? Woo! That's hard for me. He says, be ye doers of the word. And not what? Deceiving who? The pastor? Who do you deceive there? Your youth pastor? Your mom and dad? No. Deceiving your own selves. What's the Bible says? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Listen, young person, our youth groups, our churches, you're listening to somebody tonight. I had the privilege to grow up in an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, King James Bible-believing, separated, missionary-minded, non-charismatic Baptist church, all right? Now listen. I've seen people I grew up with, and even myself have fallen into this trap. Teenagers in our churches, we know how to dress, friend. You with me? I mean, we know how to dress. We know how to speak. We know how to play church. We know how to act spiritual. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you, and I'm not preaching at you, but give me your hearts for a little bit. We know how to play church. We got it down pat. We know how to please men. We know when mom and dad's around. We know when the youth pastor's around. We understand when pastor's going through the hallways. We see when a principal is coming. We see when a Sunday school teacher is coming. We understand all that. I'm speaking tonight to some of you. You know how to play church. You got it down pat, man. You're like a robot. I mean, you know when to say amen. You know when to sing in the youth choir. You know when to show up for the nursery. You know when to show up for the bus route. I'm not knocking these things. Those are wonderful things. But listen tonight. All that matters tonight is your heart right with God. That's what matters tonight. God delivers from a bunch of clones in our churches, always checking off on our list our do's and don'ts, and that makes me right with God. Oh, if so-and-so thinks I'm right with God, then I must be right with God. And if I get to please my parents and please my pastor and please my youth pastor and please my friends, then I must be right with God. But it's not about pleasing your parents. It's not about pleasing your youth pastor. It's not about pleasing your leader. It's about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, Jesus, today I like to please you? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Listen to what he says. That I may know him. I want to know somebody. And that somebody I want to know is him, my friend. That I may know him. I don't want to know anything about LeBron James. But I want to know something about Jesus tonight. I don't want to know anything about Katy Perry. I want to know something about Jesus tonight. I don't want to know anything about Justin Bieber. I want to know something about Jesus tonight. Yeah, I know what I said, Bieber. It's all right. Listen, I want to know something about Jesus. Talk to me about Jesus. Speak to me about Jesus. I want to love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, every fiber of my being. Everything belongs to you, Jesus. And listen, when you get to that place in your Christian life, then you get to live a little bit for God, my friend. We need teenagers that live it. We don't need fakes and phonies tonight. By the way, we don't need faculty that's fake and phony tonight either, my friend. Is everybody okay? Is that okay? This will be probably the last time I preach, but let me go for it. I got to be careful. But I grew up in a ministry where there were so many servants of God that were just falling by the wayside, Brother Torres. So many, did you hear? Hey, did you hear? What are you talking about? My father left my mother, committed adultery, divorced her, left her high and strung. I mean, she had to work a full-time job to put food on the table. And when I hear of a pastor committing adultery, it breaks my heart. Is that all right? Look at me. It's an immense responsibility that is placed on spiritual leadership tonight. Teenagers out in the crowd. I'm speaking to myself tonight. They don't need to see somebody who knows how to play a certain part. They don't need to see somebody who's living another lifestyle on their cell phone. They don't need to see somebody who gets into their car and blasts all kinds of ungodly music. They don't need to see somebody who goes home and watches rated R movies, the stuff that doesn't please the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't need to see somebody who's cheating on their wife and acting like everything's okay. Are you listening to me, spiritual leadership tonight? They need to see people that are genuine and that are honest and that are working hard for God, that are pushing them to be more like Jesus, my friend. I'm sick and tired of hearing of youth pastors falling by the wayside, faculty falling by the wayside. Paul said, I keep my body in subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself may be a castaway. God help us. We're not exempt tonight, youth pastor. Preacher, I'm not exempt tonight. Any sin that can be committed by an unsaved man can also be committed by me. I can lose my family tonight. I can lose my marriage tonight. I can lose the privilege to preach the word of God tonight. I can lose the privilege of working with wonderful friends at Hiles Henderson College and to know all these teens. I can lose that privilege, my friend. So we must walk circumspectly. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Listen to what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are fools tonight if we come into this conference that's Bible-based in every aspect by the grace of God. We don't understand that the devil's looking to destroy us all, but more in particular, the spiritual leadership that is in this room. I beg you from a young, no longer young, I'm 33, but listen, I'm ready to be crucified. But listen, I beg you from a person right here, listen, I've seen it. Broke my heart as a young person. Broke my heart. People that have fallen by the wayside. Let's live out our Christianity, friend. He says, teach me. Look at verse number 34. Not only does he say, teach me, but what are the first two words of verse number 34? Say it nice and loud. Ready? One, two, three. That's not nice and loud. Everybody all right up there? Here we go. One, two, three.
Give me.
Give me what? Watch what he says. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. And I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. You don't need to turn there, but listen to what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10. Listen to what he says. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. God's chosen his people. A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant, listen to what he says, listen, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Now listen to what the Bible says in verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked. Now listen, he shows up. What do you want? Do you want riches? Do you want popularity? Do you want fame? Do you want fortune? Do you want property? I mean, you name it, gold, silver, precious stone, jewels. I mean, you tell me what you want. He says, listen, God, because you've chosen these people, because you've chosen these people, they don't belong to me, God. They belong to you. Would you please give me an understanding heart? Because God, these aren't my people. These are your people. God, these aren't my people. These are your people. So I need an understanding heart. The theme of this conference, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get what? Wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's say that verse together. Ready? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. One more time. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy wisdom, get understanding. One more time. Nice and loud. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know what Solomon was saying? God, I don't know the way out. I don't know the way in. I don't know the way up from town. God, I have no idea how to rule these people, God. I've never been a king before, but I know this, that these are your people and you can be their king. And God, would you allow me secondarily to lead them the way that you would lead them, to guide them the way that you would guide them, to speak to them the way that you would speak to them. God, would you please give me wisdom, God? I'll tell you what you need, teenager nine. You need wisdom, my friend. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Teach us, God. Teach us. And then give us tonight. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. You know, you need wisdom to be a teenage girl these days. Yes, you do. You need to have the ability to think the way that God thinks. You want to see life through the telescope of God. How would God be a teenager in my home? How would God respond to my parents? How would God respond to his authorities? How would God live in this school? What would God do in this classroom? What would God put on today? How would God speak? How would God walk? Everything has to do with wisdom. Apply thine heart to wisdom, my friend. Get understanding. We need understanding tonight. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? That giveth to all men liberally. He gives to everybody. He says he upbraids not. Wisdom still crying out in the chief place of concourse. How long will you simple ones love simplicity? How long will you be simple? How long will you be ignorant about these things? How long will you live your life for yourself? How long? We need wisdom. I need wisdom today to be a godly father. I need wisdom tonight to be a godly husband. I need wisdom tonight to be a godly teacher. I need wisdom tonight to be a godly friend. I need wisdom tonight to be a godly son. I need wisdom tonight to be a godly preacher. I need wisdom tonight to be a soul winner. I need wisdom tonight to disciple people. I need wisdom tonight to be a tour leader. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to apply in your life, you need wisdom. I need wisdom. And we cannot please God without it tonight. We need wisdom, my friend. What does God say about this situation? I need wisdom. Then I want to say this. Verse 33, what does it say? Teach me. What does it say? Verse 34, what does it say? And then look at verse number 35, and I'm through. What are the first two words of verse number 35? Ready, begin? Ooh, make me. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. My mother's here tonight, and I'm going to tell it. It's all right. But I remember being about 12, 13 years old, Brother Hassie, pastor. For people that know me closely and best, my what used to be and probably still will ever be my youth pastors here tonight, Brother Gomez, he's in the auditorium, and he knows me pretty well. And pastor, these men know me a little bit, but I'm kind of like you, Brother Torres, really a knucklehead, okay? Really dumb, really ugly. Really, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, here we go. Just, have you ever had a dumb moment in your life? Raise your hand if you had a dumb moment. Okay, everybody, raise your hand. Okay, Lord. Okay, here we go. People pointing at each other. Man, you dumb right now because you ain't raising your hand. You dumb. Okay, here we go. I remember I was playing the legendary game Street Fighter 2, okay? Don't act like you've never played. Come on, Brother Tef. I know you play a little Street Fighter 2. Come on now. I was out in those docks, okay, with my Sperry's on, okay. Now listen, all right, so he's preaching after me. All right, so here it is. I was playing. I was engulfed in the game. You know what I mean? I got the strongest thumbs in this room. How many of you got strong thumbs? Okay, forget it. I'm just kidding. So here I was playing. I mean, I was playing away, man. It was awesome. My friends Jamal and Dietrich were there having a great time. About 30 seconds later, you laughing at that black name, Dietrich? You all right? Okay, my friends Jeff and Connor were there. Okay, here we go. So, I'm just kidding. If you're Connor tonight, I love you. It's all right, okay? Good night, man. Dude, seriously, you know what I mean, Brother Kenny? You all right? Disney World, baby. Come on. All right, so here it is. He lives like 20 minutes away from, okay. So back to my story, okay? My mom comes to the front of the screen. And moms, I got to tell you something about moms, okay, very quickly. Moms escaped civil war in El Salvador when it was crazy. People were killing each other from different villages. Mom killed about 28 people, showed up in the States. You know what I mean? El Chapo ain't got nothing on my mama. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so he's probably going to hear this online and show up in my house tonight. Okay. My mom comes to the front of the screen and she says this. I'm going to translate for some of y'all. She says, Mijo, saca la basura. For those of you that not understand the tongue talk that I just spit it out, this is what my mom says. Take out the trash. I'm doing something very important, Mom, okay? I didn't say that to her. Listen, I didn't say that. I'm getting to the good part, though, Brother Coomer. And my mom said, okay. And Brother Zach, she walked back, cooking, whatever. And I started to play again, my friends. Yeah, woo! You know, we're all street fighting. Yeah, you know. You know what I mean? About 30 seconds later, she comes to the front of the screen. She says, hey, didn't I tell you to go take out the trash? I say, yes. You know how we are, right? Yeah, I'll get to it. Yeah, Mom, I'll get to it. Sure, I will. I didn't get to it. Mrs. Wilson, I'm just playing again. About 10 seconds now, Jordan. My mom comes. She stands in front of the TV, and she says, go take out the trash. And I'm going to tell y'all, I don't know what happened to me. Brother Davenport, I think I had an aneurysm that day. That's not funny to the people that have had aneurysms. I'm sorry. I had a coach that had an aneurysm, but he survived, so it's okay. Brother Shook, you know what I said to my mom? I don't know why I said this. Until the day I'm still recovering. But this is what I told my mom. Make me. What? Make me what? No, I'm just kidding. What, Mom? I'm just kidding. And as soon as I told my mom to make me, it was like she did, in my mind, it was slow, you know, slow motion, but probably it was the fastest, swiftest, like Bruce Lee, you know what I'm saying? Pa-dow, you know what I mean? But I saw her hand, it was like, like the Matrix, you know? I'm not condoning it, okay, Pastor? Now here it is. Smack me right in the side of my head. I remember Dietrich and Jamal, or Jeff and Connor. I remember them. They were like, ah, man, your mama slapped you, dog. Dude, they ran down the stairs telling all my buddies in the neighborhood. And before I was Big Bad Sammy, but after I was done with that, I was Urkel. You know what I'm saying? They got that shot from my childhood. You know what happened that day? My mama, Mrs. Wilkerson, she made me. Can I tell you, teenager, right here in the scripture, that's not his heart. He doesn't tell God, make me, God. Now, can God make you? Of course he can. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I've seen people fall into his hand. I'd rather just jump into his hands. Like, here you go, God, here I am. Sorry about that. I'm going to put myself in your hands. I've seen my friends in hospital beds. You know why? Because they force God to make them do some things. I've seen my friends gasping for air God, don't let me die. God, don't let me die. Because they told God to make them do some things and had the wrong attitude. I've seen them in jail cells. Look at me, look at me. Why does it have to be in our churches that hear sound doctrine, that hear good preaching, that have good music, that have pastors and moms and dads and youth pastors and Sunday school teachers, and that have all kinds of people that love you and pray for you and cry for you and will live for you, and you still choose to do wrong? Why would you end up in jail? Seriously? You've heard preaching. You know better. Why some of you girls will end up having babies out of wedlock? Why? I've seen them from my youth. I'm not trying to hurt anybody tonight, but I've seen them walk in with their babies. Hey, where's the dad? I don't know. Wait a minute. Didn't we sit in the same spot here in the same preaching? Did you not have the same opportunities that I had? Why are you here? Why have you messed up your life? I know where sin did abound, there did grace much more abound. But listen, why would some of you push God to the limits? Why would you push God into a corner? Do what I want to do. Say what I want to say. Go where I want to go. And it doesn't matter. I got to answer to myself. No, you will not. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your members, which are God's. They're Christ. That wasn't his attitude. You know what his attitude was? Listen. God, I've begged you to teach me some things. Whew. God, I've got a little bit of listening down, a little bit of learning. I'm trying to live it out. I'm trying to live for you, Jesus. I'm trying to. God, I've asked you to give me some wisdom. But I'm still struggling a little bit with this understanding. I'm still struggling, God. Try to live for you. Try to ask you for wisdom. God, as humbly and as best as I know how. Here's what he says. Mitch, make me. Make me something that I cannot make myself, God. God, please make me something that I cannot make myself. Who takes somebody from a broken home? Anger and cussing. Alcohol, cigarettes. Who takes somebody like that? Insecure, bashful, introvert. Doesn't know the security of a father. Who takes somebody like that? Places them in the ministry. Who does something for somebody like that? Who gives to them a godly marriage and a pure wife and wonderful children? Who gives to them a house that can become a home? Who gives them the opportunity to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Who gives them that, Brother Bill? I know who gives them that. God gives you that. All throughout this room, you can talk to people whose lives have been shattered, whose lives have been broken by sin, and the reason that they're living for God, not because they're the smartest, not because they're the most athletic, not because they're beautiful, not because they have all types of resources, but simply because they come to a point in their life when they said, God, I cannot do anything, but God, I know that you can. I know that you can, God. Make me, God. Woo! Yes! What a dilemma when I came here. What happened? I don't know. Good night. Sit in that office. Supposed to teach the Bible to college. Are you kidding me? Took me like 7 years to finish college, my friend. That's supposed to be a joke, but okay. There's a foot down here. That's why I'm laughing. Listen. I think God allowed me to understand the secret. It's not about what I can do. It's all about what he can do, friend. Brother Sammy, I don't have all the resources like so-and-so. That's all right. It's okay. It's all right, man. Brother Sammy, I don't have the home like they have. Or maybe there's some of you have in pastors' homes and in deacons' homes that you're ministry kids, you know. Everybody's looking at you like, why can't I just be normal? Why can I do things without people pointing? And I understand some of those frustrations to a certain extent. Listen. Why don't you just ask God to make you something? I can't preach. This week, God will call you to preach. Not about what you can do. About what God can do. I can't have a good home like I've seen some of my leaders have. No. It's not about what you think you can or cannot do. It's about what God can do. I can't come one day, you precious girls, dressed in white, so beautiful, to meet your knight shining armor. I can't do that. I have you a question. Can God do that? Is there anything too hard for God? You know what he asked God tonight? God, make me. Just make me, God. It's no secret to the Christian life. Pastor Dale, been in ministry probably as long as I'm alive. I know. Man walks with God, loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee there's been times in his life where Jesus says, you know, God, just go ahead and make me do some things. Because I don't know. Make me, God. Make me. That's what I asked God to do for me. God will do it for you. Let's be alive unto him, teenager, this week. Give God your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed.